Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Redockables.
Yeah.
Potentially the last episode of the Redockables, Oz.
Yes.
With footy coming back next weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys. Welcome. If this is your first listen of the Redockables, go back, have a look through. You've got a one weekend to watch all the other 8 games that we watched either on YouTube or the AFL app. And eat it up, mate. It's been a fantastic little ride, mate. Something a little bit different. Thank you to all the listeners for listening. And we've had really good listens on both the Purple Patch, if you're listening to us on that feed, or if you are, why not head over to The Purple Rain, which is will be our Monday review show, where this all started, mate, on The Purple Rain. So, guys, if you just listen to The Patch, head on to The Rain, which is our official non-dockers. What we do independently. And also jump on our social media, guys, at PurpleRain95 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to follow us. And you can ask some questions, which we'll have listeners' questions at the end of the show. If you're listening on The Rain, on The Patch, there's no listeners' questions. Cut. Hard cut.
Yep.
Shout out to you, Bretto. Oz, how you been going, mate? How's your long weekend?
Yeah, going well. Decided to take a trip down to Dunsbrough.
Yep.
With the fam, which was nice. I know you went down to sunny Tambalup, and you'll tell me about that in a second. But it was really nice to get away with the fam. I think my daughter found it very interesting because she's been cooped up in the house and unable to attend, you know, a lot of things because, you know, you're supposed to be listening to the advice and of said government. So, you know, for a 3-year-old, it was like every time we passed a sheep, it was a sheep, and you know, and you're going down cow, yep, loving it. Yeah, mate, really enjoyed it down there. Most of Perth obviously made their way down to Dunsbrough, so shout out to Perth Heights. Shawnee Mac was there.
Yeah, mate, did you gob off on him? Did you give him a bit of...
Well, actually...
Get out of here, Shawnee Mac, you bastard.
I must admit, I was actually caught on my phone at the time, so I didn't know, and a friend of mine was like, Shawnee Mac just gave you the triple take there, mate. And I'm like, sorry, mate.
Now, you said maybe that he listens to The Rain and The Patch and he knows who we are.
Yeah.
Mate, all I can say is welcome, Shawnee Mac, mate. Come on down. Get on the show, mate. We'll go for a head-to-head. Oz, are you sure? My reply to you when you told me that was, are you sure he wasn't just worried about your terrorist-like looks?
Mate? Yeah.
I know you shaved the beard, but, mate,
it's very sure topical at the moment.
Take 0-0 and then like, it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is very topical, actually.
Very topical. He might have called the cops on me. No. Yeah, look, love the time down there, mate. It's always good to get away.
Yeah.
Yeah, different weather, different place, and hopefully we're all ready to roll. We've got these hubs coming up, mate. Exciting times.
Yeah, hub time, mate. It's good times.
How was harvest? Was it harvest time where you were?
Nah, seeding, mate. Seeding. Come on, harvest time in summer.
I don't know. I'm not a farmer.
Yeah, mate. Down the farm, went down the farm. Classic, as people would well know, me and you are both teachers, so head down the farm, mate, and she's just straight into it. So jumped in the tractor, helped out a little bit, just riding along, not actually driving anything, not that much. There's much driving going on with all the GPS-guided systems, but jumped in the tractor with my cousin Colin, who manages our farm. Cheek, so shout out to him. He wouldn't be listening to this, but went around, did a bit of seeding with him, jumped in the sprayer with the old boy in the tractor with him while he's spraying. And geez, mate, I tell you what, I had my Fitbit on. This is how bumpy it is. Had my Fitbit on, and you go at about 15, 16 k's an hour, right? And as that bumpy, my Fitbit thought I had climbed, right? I think it was 50 flights of stairs.
Yeah, good.
Right?
Yep.
I checked updated my little thing. It thought I'd done some outdoor riding.
Ooh.
Downhill mountain riding. Like, that's how bumpy it was and going over bumps. So, and fed a lot of sheep. It's pretty dry down TA, actually. It's a bit drier than what I'd hoped, but that's all right. And then very fortunate on Sunday night, went down and caught up with a couple of good friends, Buffer and Caitlin, and their young son Jack, who's a dead ringer for my mate Buffer. And I went to my mate Jez at Grovesy's house, him and his lovely wife Kate, treated us to some pizza. We went, classic, mate, rang up this place, Ken and up. Do you do takeaway burgers? Yeah. We can't find your menu. About 5 minutes later, we ring him up with the order. Sorry, don't do it anymore. We're full up. And it was 5:30, mate. It wasn't like it was the middle of the night. So, shout out to Jez and Kate and their kids, mate. They got little Brady, who's just fresh out the oven, and Delilah and Jakey boy, they're just the cutest kids, mate. Too cute. The kids are too cute, nice. Mate. Old Uncle Duck
you're
came
getting cluggy,
in.
Mate.
Uncle Duck came in with the stuffed toys, mate, and I was all over those kids, mate. Poor old little Delilah. I gave her actually when she was younger. I gave her a Fifey doll because they're at Coles, they're on special, so they're like I think they're like $2 or something.
Yeah,
gave it to her, mate. It was a favorite toy for a while, but gave her a snow leopard, mate. Straight away, bang. She didn't want a bar of meat. Gave her a snow leopard. She was all over me, mate. She's loving it. Little Delilah, little cutest little kid, but they all are cute. And it's good to catch up with them. But, mate, enough about us.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this game, guys. So just before you get into it, Oz, and I know you want to hit that.
Yes.
On the 7th of September 2013, we head down to Gardenia Park in front of 32,000 fans and the Frio Dockers 12-15-87 defeat the Geelong Cats 9-18-72 by 15 points in probably Oz what we could describe as our greatest ever victory as Dockers.
Yes.
Do you want to give me the minute to win it before you go into the teams, or you want the teams first?
No, I like the minute to win it.
Okay, we'll go minute to win it, teams, GBU. How does that sound?
Okay, go.
All right, minute to win it here, guys. All right, so before the bounce, there's a free kick to J-Pod from old Zachy Dorse. Gets a real dodgy free kick. Geelong dominate proceedings early, but are wasteful. Dockers, on the other hand, make the most of their opportunities. Halfway through the quarter, Crowley sent to Stevie J because he's had 11 touches and kicked 2 goals. Sandy begins to dominate in the ruck after a poor first quarter. The mids dominate around the ground. The Dockers kick 5 in a row in the second quarter. The contest goes back and forth until the last quarter in which Sandy spoils. Hill runs onto it. And that's all she wrote. You guys know the rest.
That was well under 1 minute, my mate.
Yeah, probably, mate.
I'm going to keep the song running because I like it.
Mate, but what a game, mate. Oh. Like, I mean, the initial stitch-up, the fact, and I'll talk about that in the GBU, but Oz, and this is something I was going to talk about in the Dockery, but for some reason, I thought the Sandilands punch was from a throw-in. Did you? It's a kick down the line. And Sandilands does this weird punch because the way it looks, because you often only see, you only see the punch. So I was like, I swear it was a throw-in. When it happened in the game, I was like, all right, when's this throw-in when Sandilands punches it?
Yeah.
And then it's a long kick down the line from, I think it's Neil, and he punches it sideways.
Yeah.
And dead set. What does Basil Zemplis say? Maybe the greatest interchange of all time.
Yeah. Speaking of Basil Zemplis.
They really had the B team, didn't they? Him and Hamish.
He started bullish on the Dockers, and then all of a sudden I think he felt that he was being too parochial.
Well, yeah, it was weird. It was like,
and then all of a sudden it was like everything was against the Dockers. It was so really weird.
It was a really B team of commentary.
Mm.
It's Zemplis, McLaughlin, Hamish McLaughlin.
Yeah.
It's
Vossie.
Vossie and Job Watson. Tim Watson, sorry, Tim Watson. Not Job.
Was Darcy there?
No. I think Darcy. I feel like I heard Darcy, but was he? When did he transition from commentator, special comments to commentator?
Don't know.
Interesting one. Anyway, let's get on to the teams before you press that button, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Get on to teams.
All right, so the teams. Yes. Okay, so we had Hayden Ballantyne, Michael Barlow, Zachy Clark, Ryan Crowley, Zachy Dawson, Matt DeBoer, Paul Duffield, Nat Fife, Stephen Hill, Chris Main, the Manic Pressure, Luke McFarlane, David Mundy, Tendo Mazungu in his hard head, Lockie Neal, Matthew Pavlich, Daniel Pierce, Aaron Sandilands, Tommy Sheridan with Rick Sywer, Lee Spur, Nicky Subin, Cam Sutcliffe, and Michael Walters with a better haircut and the more well-renowned number that he wears now.
All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic, mate. All right, let's get into the GBU, man. Okay. Look, the good, mate. I've bunched them up a bit, but I've left the forwards out. But I thought the mids, mate, for a start. If you look at this group of midfielders, Fife coming into his own, mate, really starting to dominate the game and dominates. And he's a bit bigger. He isn't quite at his beast mode size yet. But he is very, very... I think, does he win the Brownlow the next year? Did he win in 2014?
Yeah, he does, because he breaks his leg.
Yeah. Mundy, big in the contest.
Was it next year? The year after?
2015?
I want to say it's a year after, because next year we get knocked out by Port Adelaide, I believe.
Yeah.
And then the year after, he breaks his leg
in the Hawthorn match, doesn't he? Mickey Barlow, mate, 3 goals, 1 and 32 disposals, and just heart and soul, mate. And, you know, Mickey Barlow, a bit unfortunate to get moved out of the midfield after this time. mate, Stevie Hill, very speedy around the contest. Obviously, the last goal, just so late, mate. Wanted it. Had plenty of players on, but just wanted the goal. Lachie Neale, mate, won some crucial ball in the last quarter.
Okay. And
why was he sub, man?
Yep. Yep. Now, I've got
in
a bit of a bone
final, why was
to
he
pick.
Sub? He subbed the next week, right?
Yep.
So, Michael Johnson comes in the prelim. Sheridan gets dropped, and Neale becomes a sub. Now, you'd think maybe, you know, someone like... I know Lachie Neale was relatively young, but I guess someone like a Soobs. But Soobs in the prelim kicked two goals.
Yes.
Maybe a DeBoer. DeBoer actually got subbed out in that prelim.
Yep.
And you think, like, having Lachie Neale as a sub 2 weeks in a row maybe wasn't the... I don't know if that's the best idea.
Well, obviously they're thinking the two ruckmen going in that they're going to play Zach Clark.
Yeah.
And it backfired horribly. And there are passages of this game where you see Zach Clark with the potential of, okay, well, it, you know, he's got his 19 hitouts, you know, had six tackles, had a couple of crucial passages of play. However, you look at, you know, Ross's mantra, what it was about at the time, you know, winning it at the coalface, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Lachie Neale's that guy. And it's egregious to me that Lachie Neale doesn't start in that GF. He ends up playing something like 50-something percent of game time after he gets subbed on because, obviously, you know, Clark goes. I actually have the stats on this. I was looking at
it. But was that a part of – I mean, I haven't watched the game yet, mate. We're not going to watch it.
No, unless, I don't plan on watching it again.
Unless there's another wave.
I managed to escape it. There's no, mate, come on.
We're back in the redockables.
Yeah.
But, Oz, I really think it's – was that one of the like, you know, we came back in the grand final?
Yeah, because Lachie Neale was bloody on fire.
And
well, I mean,
it
certainly helped in the start of the second half when I think it was Sandy straight down to Mundy to Fife or Mundy to Pavlich or something like that goal, something along those lines. But yeah, look, turning point, and I think if he had his time again.
Yeah.
But you know, interestingly, I was listening to I can't remember who it was. On a recent sack pod, and they were talking about who used to cop the most grief from Rossy Lyon.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't a sack pod.
Was it
maybe
Ballas
it was
on the Buckley?
It was, yes, it Ballas was Ballas on the thing.
What's that pod called? The Dylan Friends.
Dylan Friends. If you can put up with really bad audio quality, listen to it because, you know, it's not bad. But
needs to chat with you, mate.
But... he was talking about how Lachie Neale used to cop some absolute sprays, like absolute. And I'm just wondering early on in his career that, you know, there's a bit of a worry that he might be going too far too quickly. But, yeah, look, in this game, mate, he's sensational. And there are passages where he does, you know, for a young player.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Mate, last mid I wanted to talk about was Creepy Crowley. Did a great job on Stevie J, who Stevie J has 11 touches and kicked two goals in the first quarter, and then he literally doesn't touch the ball, it seems to be. He sucks. He gets punched in the guts. Oh, he sucks. He punches someone else. He gets like – and you know what? That's typical Stevie J, in my opinion. And that's probably how people look at Hayden Ballantyne.
Yeah.
But I really didn't like Stevie J after that.
Question without notice.
Mm-hmm.
Is – the non-handshake after the game, comparable to the bad boy Pistons walking off without shaking hands.
Yeah, mate, it's pathetic because Crowley's done a great job on him. And suck it up and take your loss, mate. I just remembered it at the end, and I didn't even put it in my notes. But, mate, Stevie J's non-handshake is absolutely pathetic, mate.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a real... It is Piston style.
Yeah.
You know, very Piston.
Well, the other question I have for you without notice again, Duck, there's a lot of these today.
Mm, yeah, go for it.
And that is in relation to Geelong. Everyone lauds Geelong with their hardness at the ball and stuff. Mm. And then obviously one of the highlights for me was to I actually listened to the entire press conference that was held in the toilet afterwards.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether it was held in the toilet, whether or not Geelong wins, if it's the same venue. But and the cistern blows up in the background, but that's I digress. That, you know, they forget that if you play that hard, don't complain when the other team matches the hardness.
Yeah.
And complain that it's untoward.
Yeah.
Or complain that it's against the rules when clearly all they're doing is matching the intensity.
Mate, it comes from their coach down. Brad Scott. Is Brad Scott? Is that the coach? Chris Scott?
Whoever it is. Mate, it's the guy that coached the Dockers.
Complains about umpiring so hard. And like it goes from him down to Selwood. I mean, it's all of them. And it's rife through the club, mate. And if there's ever a bigger bunch of whingers, it's the Geelong, mate. They just whinge, mate. They whinge and they complain. And guess what? They got the rub of the green. Dockers hadn't won at Cardinia Park. They've won one game in the last 13. They go down there, mate.
The game even starts.
The game was supposed to be at the – I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be at the Docklands. The AFL announced in the press release it would be at the Docklands because the thing was is that there was four games in Melbourne.
Yep.
So they were like, well, maybe there'll be one game at the Docklands and three games at the MCG.
Yep.
Instead, they shunt the Dockers down to – I mean, this is second versus third, right? Second versus third? Yeah, second versus third. They shunt us down to Cardinia Park, prelim Saturday afternoon. I mean, qualifying final Saturday afternoon. I mean, give me a break, mate. If that's Richmond, that's Collingwood, that's any of these so-called big Melbourne clubs, mate, it's Friday night at the G. It's Saturday night at the G.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's just pathetic. And I think the AFL actually had a bit of an axe to grind with the Dockers because they'd rested players the game
before. Oh, of course they did. Oh, of course they did.
Anyway, mate, a couple more goods. Sandy, pretty average in the first quarter, mate, but then dominates after that. Ross mentions it as probably his best game of the season. Essentially, Oz, my question for you, mate, without notice was Sandy's injuries from 2016 to 2019, in which he played only half the games, 42 games out of 88, was that one of the main reasons for our downfall? Because if you've got Sandy, you're never really going for another big ruckman. Your number two ruckman's always pretty average. You know, we had Clark, we had Griffin, we had Jack Hanneth, we had bloody, what's his name, Big Boy Jones.
Yeah.
You know, Darcy was up and coming, but we never really had, like, you can't have two really good ruckmen on your list.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the problems with Clark is that Zach Clark was actually a good ruckman. And I'll talk about this in the bad, but he wasn't a good forward ruckman. Mm. He was just a good ruckman.
Yeah.
Like, he's around the ground, he's pretty hopeless. So having Sandilands on the list, having him and him being injury prone on the end of that 2015 season, we just fall off a cliff and he's not there playing either because he gets broken ribs, he gets turf toe, you know.
So you're thinking that he's taking up a list spot?
Well, not necessarily taking up a list spot, but why would you – you're looking at your list, you're not like, well, we need another good ruckman when you got Sandy there. You know, you're looking at probably the premier ruckman in the competition if he's fit.
Yeah. Well, look, I think you plan for that in the future, and you know, one would hope that they were trying to do that or develop. You know, why not have two exceptionally gifted ruckmen?
Mm.
I mean, look at our position now. We've got an up and coming young ruckman, and we've also got Rory Lobb. So if you look at Hodel, for example, you know, his upside potential, you still got to pinch yourself as to how young this guy is.
Yeah.
And he does have a lot of potential. You know, he's you know, just toughness around the ground and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, but the thing is as well, is if you have Sandilands and Lobb, that's a good combo because Lobb can play forward.
Yep.
And he pinch hits in the ruck. And this is where, obviously, you know, we'll talk about it in the second segment about our season, but Kepler Bradley going down is a really crucial thing for the Dockers because he is the forward ruckman.
Now, do we actually... Because I tried finding some info, it was really hard to do.
Yeah.
And he doesn't play after, I think it's round four or whatever it is, in that season.
Does ACL, doesn't he? Kepler.
Is it his ACL?
In the book, it said Kepler Bradley and Griffin both had season-ending knee injuries.
Okay.
So I assume it's either ACL or
round five,
PCL.
Sorry. So round five, he does his knee.
And Griffin does his knee in round seven. And Griff definitely did an ACL.
Okay.
But Bradley, I'm not sure. He's might have been an MCL or a PCL, but he's out for the season. So you'd assume it's ACL if he's out from round five.
Yep. And that is pivotal, those two, because any one of those two, you'd think.
Well, I think Griffin, not so much, but definitely Bradley. Bradley as a forward
ruckman. You don't think Griffin wouldn't have done a better job than Zach Clark in the grand final?
I think forward line, maybe not. He's a big fella. He doesn't move. He's too much of an actual ruckman. I'm talking, you know, like Hale is a forward ruck. He's not a ruck forward.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, Clark is just a ruckman.
Allegedly, he's still, you know, taking kids to the cleaners down at Freeland.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's still dressing up David Hale down there.
Yeah.
Taking people to the cleaners.
Mate, the back line.
Sign him up.
The back line I thought was outstanding. Lee Spur has 10 marks and 29 disposals. Lukey Mack off 8 weeks off layout, just straight back into it. Sutcliffe, mate, great job, and we'll talk about him at the end. Dawson melts every now and again, but actually really solid. 12 one percenters. A couple outmarked Podsy Adley a few times. Really soft free kicks against him. Ross Love defending Zach Dawson.
Oh, he did.
Tendai Mazungu playing a little bit of the loose man was really great. And Duff giving that quality from the D50, mate. My question to yours is about Sutcliffe, mate. Sutcliffe wins the Beacon Award this year. He in 2013. He looks like an absolute steal in the draft. I think we got him in the 60s or the 70s.
Yeah.
Mate, him and Neil, like late round picks.
Yeah.
Sutcliffe looks like a solid back pocket. Plug him in. This guy's going to be a 200-game player, you know, back pocket. Easy peasy, easy selection, pick him every week.
Hashtag mate, what happens?
What happens, mate? He just falls off a cliff.
Yeah, look, I think this is another example of an apex season. He also wins the player of the finals, I believe, in this year.
Yeah.
I also believe he's player of the finals. So he, him you know,
and he won it with someone else?
Yeah.
Is that right? Joint winner?
So we're actually buoyant on Cam Sutcliffe. And I'm not sure if it's confidence lost because he ends up being thrown around a little bit. You know, trying to find his place in the next couple of years and whether or not, you know, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes and all that sort of stuff with, you know, with Ross and the playing group and all that sort of stuff. So I can't really make any comment there. But look, I would say that from watching this game, he is one of the more solid players from that back line. He just doesn't really make mistakes. He's clean. He's a one-touch player, looking very... You know,
doesn't look slow.
Yeah.
Very often will look slow.
Yeah.
Do you think, Oz, it was maybe, like, it's a couple of things that start to get exposed is that, you know, once all those better players and he becomes a, you know, more prominent player in the back line, that starts to expose him a bit more. Once we have our midfield isn't as dominant as much, he gets exposed. And, of course, in 2016, as we know, you know, once the better players got injured and we started to just dissipate essentially, all these guys who were not necessarily hiding but were just worker bees really got exposed and all of a sudden they just went to water, you know? You're like, you're looking at DeBoer, Mazungu, Clancy Pierce, our mate Subin, Sheridan, Sutcliffe. So he's not, you know, he's not one by himself, but it really is interesting that he just simply just kind of becomes not much, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he really, really, he played 100 games for the Dockers, but you know, he's the kind of guy who should still be at the club, should still be a really reliable back pocket.
Yeah.
But he kind of just, he must have been the best that he was ever going to be and he never progressed.
Yeah.
Because if you think if he's progressing as a first year player, like, mate, he had the world at his feet, mate.
Well, the other guy that sort of falls into that category for me is Hayden Crozier.
Oh, yeah, the
so,
Crows.
So, like, he has this, in but that
Crozier's,
season.
Crozier is a good player, mate. That's the
thing. So in the middle part of that season, he plays round 6, 7 he plays and is rested, well, doesn't play round 8. And then he goes 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 plays. Then doesn't play at all until round 23, obviously when we're benching everyone. And then doesn't sit. But I'm wondering, you know, there's a couple of guys like that where you go, oh, just whether or not if they had more opportunity.
Yeah.
Like if it was a different makeup,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in prime winning zone, but, mate, you just keep trying to churn out the wins.
Yeah,
but,
And you can't argue with that because it was, at the time, it's effective.
Yeah, and look, I think Crozier has turned into a pretty good player. He's just not at the club anymore. That's the problem. Mate, just one last good Pete Ross line, mate, in that presser. He has a go at Shane, very infamous go at Shane. He
Can you just go through the way in which he does it, Duck?
So... I thought it was the first question, first cab off the rank. Because obviously, I didn't used to watch the pressers, but so I watched the presser. It's about the fourth question.
Yes.
And his question is about some behind the ball stuff. And Ross Lyon just looks at him and just absolute disgust. And he answers the question a little bit. Then he's like, nah. And he's like, goes back at him. Then someone else asks a question. Then he goes at him again.
Yeah.
Then someone else, and he's like, I just can't get this. I'm sorry, I can't shake this. That's so bad. Like, what do you stand for? He goes at that bloke about four times.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like,
that's not to mention the
eyes. Someone will ask him a question, and he'll be like, you can see he's just staring at him the whole time. Yeah.
So that's Ross and the fixation. And people say that. Like, you know, he was very fixed. Once he's fixated on something.
Oh.
You know,
and poor old Shane, mate.
Oh boy! But it was a stupid question.
Yeah.
And look, there was a few variables there that probably heightened the tension there. One, that we were already shafted going down to Cadinia. Two, we're in the toilet.
The toilet. Yeah.
The cistern blowing up.
Before that question, as well, the noise starts happening. He's like, "Where are we? Where are we sitting? Like, what is this?" already been shafted, taken down there. No other club would be down there. Yeah. Ross was really, you know, we started off humble beginnings.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't given anything. We were given a license and that was it. You know, start from scratch. At times we've been the joke of the competition, but we're really standing for something now. You know, and that's where I'm like, this is Ross to a T. And you know what, Oz, as well? During that presser, I was like, man, I'm really going to miss Ross this year. And he was an elite coach, mate. He is very elite. I know that the game looked like it kind of went past him, but I think, right, if we had Ross Lyon this year, mate, with his nous and him being able to deal with this shorter season, I feel like our game plan simplified could have really been effective.
Yeah, look, I certainly think that, you know, you look at, you know, what he was able to do for the club, and that cannot be disputed, and what he was able to accomplish, and it should be celebrated. But I'm certainly looking forward to Jaylo and what he's doing now, and the potential to, you know, to just to really be on the front foot, be attacking, and just I'm looking forward to seeing us play again. Like, yeah. And I'm not going to lie, there was a little bit of, you know, Ross fatigue in the same sort of how we're playing
and
whatnot, dour type football.
And when you're not successful, it becomes double.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to that. Now,
a couple of goods, mate. Any goods that you'd like to talk about before we go on?
Yeah, look, you know, quite often, and a shout out to the Cobblers, which is our chakra. Probably have to look at changing our name. We have to find a catchphrase now for
J-Lo's, mate.
J-Lo's. I don't know what it, you know, come up with a catchphrase, but
let's get loud. Jenny's from the block.
Normally Chris Mayne cops a hammering because there are some things that I can't forget 20 metres out directly in front against Hawthorn when I was sitting next to you. But these two seasons, 2012-2013, is epic Chris Mayne. Mm. This is Chris Mayne at his height. I mean, he is averaging across the board two or three goals. You know, every two or three games, he's coming up, finishes with 37 goals in the season. He probably has a gazillion tackles, but it's not necessarily whether he sticks the tackle. He's just running around like a maniac, and he's chasing players. And it's just like just a little bit of a hand on a butt, hand on a shoulder, and then it's
safe pressure
becomes exactly that sort of what's going on down the. And I think Chris Mayne's pressure is one of the major reasons why this forward line is so functional. And along with Hayden Ballantyne as well, who is much maligned and, you know, especially it's towards the end of his career.
And as well for Ballers, it's the 2013 grand final that people remember season. And, you know, for Chris Mayne, you're more likely to remember all the bad times and all the things where he did something and you're just like, oh. You know, and same with Ballers, rather than, oh, remember that game where he kicked a bag or this and that. Like, you're likely to focus on that negative stuff.
I mean, Ballers' season, round 5, he kicks 4, round 15, he kicks 5, he kicked 4 in round 21 and 22, respectively. So he's actually coming into that final series pretty hot. He's quiet in the quarters and the prelim with one goal a pop, you know, whereas obviously Chris Mayne, you know, is a little bit more consistent across the board. There are a number of donuts with Ballers, particularly away from home, which was going to be my rant. But, you know, you just can't deny the forward pressure and the connect between Mayne and Ballantyne was actually pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like, and so that forward Sonny pressure was pretty good.
46 goals this season. Pav's kind of waning a bit, but it's not peak Pav, but he's still going really well.
Yeah.
And then, you've obviously got the backup ruckman, usually Zachy Clark down there, and then De Boer's playing like a defensive half forward as well. But I think it was the pressure of the forward line. Sonny, Ballers, Mayne, and De Boer, all four of them together. You know, that's just chaos down there. And when the ball hit the ground, it was just fanatic. Mate, onto some bad. Obviously, the Cardinia Park stitch up. We were 1-13 down at the Cattery. Four games in Melbourne that week, but I guess they couldn't play it at anywhere in Melbourne. We rested 11, and I don't know if this was going to be Dockery, but we rested 11 people for round 23. Geelong actually won, and I remember watching this game, mate, that Brisbane had a shot. I think it was Adcock had snapped it, and it hit the post, and they won by like a point. And if that had gone through, and we'd lost to St Kilda by like 70 points, and a lot of people think that was Ross Lyon rested him on purpose because it might have been some milestone matches for some St Kilda players. But we would have finished second, and like but we would have lost, so that means we wouldn't have finished second. Mm. So that would have been an all-time Dockery stitch up. Tommy T Train, I know he's young in this stage, but he stuffs up his only two kicks. He pretty much stuffs them up. And Zach Clark, mate, he's a good ruckman, but he's a terrible forward. He had a couple of fresh airies, missed a couple, and just really, really stunk it up in some stages. And I was like, man, I know he's only young as well, young, but he was 23 at the stage. And I just remember the thing that annoyed me is that Zach Clark was so good at East Perth in the forward line. Like, he was really good at waffle level, but that was probably his level because he dominated for Subi as well. And then you get him up for Essendon and he was terrible. So look, I think that, you know, some people know that's their level, and his level is the state league. You know, it's not AFL, and he's a good player in that.
And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Like, I mean, that's everyone in every walk of life, you know. You got to know where you're at. Finally, the Dockery, mate. Chris Mayne misses a kick after the siren in the first quarter for what I would call the beginning of the end for Chris Mayne's goal-kicking accuracy. Spur gets a ball, gets a free kick from out of bounds on the full and kicks it directly out of bounds on the full. So that's a classic. Mate, that ain't Dockery, getting a free kick from out of bounds on the full and kicking it out of bounds on the full. Clark, obviously, the double fresh airy in the passage in about 2 minutes. Mm. Misses one in the back lane, goes down the forward line, misses it completely as well. Zach Dawson with the double fist.
Yeah.
And I know there's no one around him. He double fists it, goes straight to a Geelong player who they kick a goal.
Kick a goal.
And it was like, Dawes, mate, if there's one thing you know, it's don't fist it against St Kilda, against Geelong, mate, because it's his fist that led to the toe poke that, you know, the St
Kilda. Oh, he's bringing things, that so. Up.
Mate, and I said real Dockery, obviously, I was me misremembering the heel goal, always thinking it was a throw-in.
Has anyone worn a helmet better than Aaron Sandilands?
His helmet's weird, isn't it? It's a good Dockery point, the helmet, isn't it?
Mm.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
It was, did he have a broken cheekbone or something?
Yeah, because he had the patch over here. Like, yeah. You can't see it, obviously, on the pod, but I'm putting my
hand in
my face.
Yeah. Oh, is there any other stuff that you wanted to talk about before we went to the break?
Look, to be honest with you, this game, mate,
Where were you when you watched
it? I was here.
That?
I was actually in the movie room.
Yeah.
So I was actually in the movie room watching this game. And shout out LaToya Hagoing. She was over watching it. And I was on the phone texting with my brother, you know, like, should we be buying, we be investing in
book
tickets, sort of stuff. When Stephen Hill kicks it, mate, like, I was doing bog laps around the house, mate. Yeah. That was one of the all-time goals. But there's another point here that I know that if you had your time again, you would definitely raise it. Matthew Pavlich going back with the flight of the football in his own defensive.
The punch. Oh.
But when he puts his fist to that ball, for me, that's sealing the deal.
Mate, because it's 2-on-1 in their forward line.
Yes.
And Pav, that spoil. I forgot to say that, mate. Yeah. That spoil is epic. Yeah.
There's so many good points, though, in this game.
It's so good. That's very well brought. Mate, this is why you hear. This is why it's a one-man podcast. One, because the sound it'd sound like a man standing in a tin can. But two, mate, I forget things, mate.
You can't bloody remember everything, mate. You can't bloody remember
everything. Now, Oz, I watched this game down at North Freo at Gil Fraser Reserve with some North Freo and some Whitford's people. And, you know, being a uni man, there's the two clubs I hate the most are at North Freo and Whitford's. And that's just, I've had some personal run-ins with some people there who are just, I would say, scumbags, to take it politely. good on to Whitford's, mate. You know what my average winning margin is when I played against Whitford's in my career?
Mate, yeah.
20 goals. Beat him by 30 goals one game. Just absolutely, every time played him, just smashed him. They're pathetic. Anyway, that's enough on Whitford's, and I hope the Whitford's listeners, if you're a Whitford's listener, feel free to turn off. I don't care. But, Oz, I watched it with Whitford's and North Freo people who are genuine, you know, people I really don't like, and we were embracing it. It's the one thing that the purple patch and the purple rain and the purple haze and the Dockers can bring us together. So those Whitford listeners that I told to turn off, I'm just taking the mic. It's the one thing is Dockers, and we became Dockers fans all at once, and everyone was watching. Yeah. We're all in there, and all these people at uni that you don't know are Dockers fans as well. I was like, oh, you're a Dockers fan, and like people were cheering, and the Stephen Hill goal, mate. Everyone's on their feet in that crappy Gil Fraser Reserve club room, mate. Which sometimes I wish got burnt to the ground and stuff like that, but whatever. But that was a really, really special day and something I'll never forget down at Gil Fraser Reserve.
Yeah.
But Oz, let's go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the 2013 season. We may talk a little bit about the grand final. Who knows? Welcome back to episode 9 of the Redockables with Duck and Oz.
Redockables.
Now, if you're listening to this, guys, on the Purple Patch, remember to subscribe, rate, and review to the Purple Rain as well as the Purple Patch for the upcoming season. Every Thursday, we will be doing a podcast on the Patch feed called the Purple Patch, obviously, in which we will preview the week's game. And then every Monday, we will be reviewing the game that has just followed that weekend on the Purple Rain. And remember to follow us on our social medias at PurpleRain95 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can ask us a question every Monday on Facebook.
Hopefully, I love
this. It'll be Monday. So, yeah, get around us, guys. Oz, 2013 season, mate, the greatest season that the Dockers had. Doesn't end in a flag, which it probably should have if you look at all the metrics for that that year, mate. Look, and when you think about it, mate, we go 18-1-6. So we actually drew a game against Sydney. 18-1-6, our best year, no doubt. Mate, when you look at this, Achilles, Pav misses, has an Achilles injury and only plays 12 games. Sandy does his hamstring and only plays 10 games.
Yep.
Kepler Bradley and Griffin both do knee injuries in round 5 and round 7 respectively. Luke Mack plays 16 games and has his calf problems, misses 8 games with the calf, I think, yep, or maybe more.
Correct.
So when you think about that, mate, and those names, obviously your ruckman, your two backup ruckman, your centre-half forward and your centre-half back, mate, it's amazing how well we did under Ross Lyon, the system and the guys who managed to stand up. Plus you put into that, Natty McPhee suddenly retires at the start of the season or the end of the season after signing a one-year deal, and he could have been really crucial in that team. Ibbotson's missing games towards the end of the season, you know, and you end up using a fair few players, but look, realistically, the growth of the young guys and the team that was probably in that zone for the next 2 years as well did really well. And you know, that grand final, obviously, mate, we'd talk about it till we're blue in the face, but, you know, just a grand final of missed opportunities, and we dominated around the ground. You know, every metric that Champion Data's ever done is it's the only grand final where the team who lost the game should have won it, according to Champion Data metrics. So, look, a really tough one, mate. But what are your memories of the 2013 season, mate?
It was probably the season that I remember for being just up and about and being the most passionate that I think I've ever been as a supporter.
Yeah.
Because I could just see this wave and riding this wave of victories. And I just remember this, you know, this 2013 season being really weird that I was just expecting to win.
Yeah.
Because I'd never, and
it was the first season where even in 2012, because Ross Lyon just starts, we have a pretty average start, but if you think about it, mate, it's that elimination final win against Geelong the year beforehand, and it's every week been like, oh, we're going to, like, we have to watch because we might win.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's the odd Dockers game where you just be like, well, I mean, I've got stuff to do and you'd probably still try and catch it.
Yeah.
But, like, if you missed it, you weren't down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, whereas this was must-watch TV, yeah, must get to the game, must, yeah, you know, you must be involved.
Because I must admit there were previous, you know, seasons where I'd go, oh, you know, do I go? Do I not go?
Yeah.
But it was almost like a no, I'm expecting to win. And it was around this time, you know, for my bro, you know, when his child was born, like he's literally, you know, gives, or he doesn't, but, you know, lovely wife, shout out to Em, how you going? Gives birth to a son. And he's across the road, Subi, and he just goes, hey, I'm sneaking out. He's having a nap. Bang, comes across, watches the game, sneaks back again. I mean, that's, you know, just the hype that was going around, yeah, you know, the fact that the fact that we're not actually talking about the grand final next week, I'll bring it forward now.
Yeah.
That the 2 or 3 weeks in the lead up to the grand final in terms of sporting moments that I've experienced will never be the same.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've been blessed to go and see NBA games. I've seen NFL games, you know, all that sort of stuff. At the highest level, I've seen an Anzac Day clash and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't even compare to a grand final. Yeah. Now, I can't tell you what actually happens from midway through the third quarter to the fourth quarter because it's all a bit of a blur. And part of that's the excitement of coming back and part of that's, you know, the green cordials.
Yeah.
But the idea that, you know, we were there, we were in a prelim, you know, the fact that I was hocking NBA memorabilia in order to get to the grand final. I was that dead set we are going to win this game. And then right at the end of that, mate, I think I've actually accepted and come to the realization that, look, you know, yeah, we should have won that game. Like, yeah, we should have.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you have to go, well, the better team did win.
Yeah.
And look, as much as I disagree with, you know, the fact that we didn't deserve to win, because we definitely deserved to win. We had ourselves in every facet of the metrics data or whatever it is. Like, we were, you know, how we didn't win the game, I'm not sure, but we didn't. And you can't keep dwelling on that.
Yeah.
And I think when I was going through like all of the, I had data that was skewed towards a potential argument that I had about, you know, why we lost this grand final. And then because we didn't do it last week, or the week before, I should say, it was like I had some time to reflect on it. And I'm like, you know what? Ultimately, let's just enjoy that season for what it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, put it in the back pocket. Best season that I've experienced as a Dockers fan, but hopefully not the last of those type of seasons.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, I've just flipped forward and going, you know what? I'm really excited about what JLo's got. You know, but poor guy, by the way, strolls in. Oh, by the way, COVID crisis, we're going to be, different season.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Can you think of a way though? Like, and this is the positive spin. Like, you know, some people see half empty, I see half full. Think about it like this, Doug. Yes, we've had a preseason. So he's had a preseason with those players, right? Yeah. Is there another way that you could forcibly have players tight knit, working together, getting to know each other, gelling, becoming one unit, than having this crisis and forcing them to go into a hub? So for me, this has actually fast forwarded our progress in terms of players, in terms of game plan, in terms of relationships, because they've got no other opportunity to do, you know, what they need to do other than be together and be in the hub.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's a very valid point.
Look, I see it in that. I have to be positive.
Yeah. No, that's very valid. I think the hub is going to be big plush, you know, in camaraderie and getting the team together. Remember as well, this is where I think the hub for the Dockers is going to be more important than the hub for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Because the Eagles have got wives and kids.
Yes.
The Dockers are all mad dog singles, mate. Rooters, you know, like getting around it. You know, they got Mundy's got a couple of kids and then all the rest. I think Doodle Dooman's got a kid.
Yeah.
But all the rest of the boys. Willow.
Sun.
Mate, you know, Willow and Sun. You know, but all the rest of the boys, you know, even though they're not allowed to, mate.
Mm.
You know, what did Michael Irving say? This is the thing. You can keep the boys in, but you can't keep the girls out.
Yeah.
But, you know, we digress. But, mate, it's very important. Mate, just in terms of the actual 2013 season, just some awards. The Doig, Fife wins it from Mundy, MJ, Crowley, Spur, Main, Barlow, Ballers, Walters and Tendai. Sonny wins the leading goal kicking with 46 goals.
Oh, baby.
Sutcliffe is the beacon after playing 19 games is the beacon award. We have seven people in the 40-man squad for the All-Australian Oz. How many All-Australians?
One.
MJ, the only one. Best clubman's Lee Spur. Brent Crowley. What's his name?
Ryan.
Ryan Crowley. Why did I say Brent Crowley?
AKA Sweatbands. Hey, by the way.
He gets the player's player.
Do you think that Ryan Crowley should have like the sweatband as his, like that's what identifies Ryan Crowley as a sweatband?
Yeah. I mean,
a statue dedicated to the sweatband. Like, there should just be a big sweatband statue outside of Kobe. Maybe.
I mean, I think.
And just have number.
There was a call when Crowley came back and played against the Dockers for Essendon that people should wear the sweatbands and cheer him on. Mate, look, Oz, I don't want to digress in terms of the bad stuff, mate, but realistically, as much as the 2013 season was a really, really positive thing, I think realistically, if we need to take a little step back to realise what made us get to the promised land, and then what made us fall off a cliff.
Yep.
And I think there's a number of things. There's obviously the injury to Sandilands. There's McFarlane retiring. There's Pavlich kind of wearing down. There's the loss of the assistant coaches. But there's also the bad drafting. So from 2010, mate, these are the guys we drafted. Jaden Pitt, Tommy Sheridan, Hayden Crozier, Josh Simpson, Michael Apnis.
You talked about that last week.
Yeah. I mean, they're our top picks, mate. And they're first rounders pretty much.
That was,
you know, and like, when you think about it, right, 2010 or 2011 or 2012, even before Michael Apnis, mate, 2013, we need to have drafted key forwards who could replace Pavlich or key defenders who are going to eventually replace McFarlane, okay? And you've got to think it takes 3 or 4 years to develop those guys. So, you know, the Jaden Pitt draft, and I know it's always, oh, well, he had a heart condition, you know, but a skinny mid versus, I don't know, Jack Darling?
Well, you know? West Coast did very well WA to guy. Beef that up.
Tommy Sheridan, mm-hmm. Hayden Crozier,
mm-hmm.
Alex Forster, mm-hmm. all get picked before. Passionate Fremantle fan, Elliot Yeo. Now, yep. I know he's not a key defender, a key forward. We've got Bradley Hill doesn't get picked. Jeremy Government obviously get rookie listed. Hamling doesn't get picked for the Dockers, you know. In 2017, we picked Simpson one pick before Brody Grundy, which is just mental. In 2013, we picked Apnis. You know, we could have picked Lobb instead. You know, we pick a guy who is a rugby player from New South Wales, and I know he's injury prone, but you know, we end up having to spend draft capital to get Lobb. You know, so that's the reason why we fall off a cliff so fast, because we need to replenish. And you know, I'm going to talk about this as a listener's question about it, but Phil Smart was able to, every time we have a good side, it's because we've had majority guys who got drafted to the club. As soon as that starts flipping, you're never going to go well, because you got to think in the end, why are these clubs giving up these players? You don't give up players to give other clubs an advantage, you know? Mm. You're going against that club. So every player that we've got in, okay, obviously we may have had to pay overs for them, but even then, you know, why does that club want to give up that player? And how many players can you say now in the last 4 or 5 years that we've brought in have actually been real success stories?
Hamling, Lobb, Ryan.
But Ryan was drafted. He was a rookie. So, you know, of all these different trades that we've brought into the club, and you know why we brought those guys in, Oz?
Nash is looking good.
Because we had that gap where we didn't have any players in that age bracket because we drafted so poorly.
Yeah,
so it ends up costing future drafts, because we have to pay some capital to get those guys. So look, I mean, it's a little bit of a digression, but you know, you've really got to go back, dissect, and look over what happened. So you know, for me, Oz, one of the big things that I've been thinking about over this COVID time, looking at these old games, is that the best the Dockers have been is when they've gone to the draft and they've drafted and they draft and they develop their players, and all the great players that we've had have been drafted to the Dockers. You know?
So this is the important question that I have. I told you there's going to be a lot of questions here. Mm. The important question I have is most. If you look at the metrics, the most development comes X plus three. So draft year plus three.
Yep.
So is it a case where our players just weren't decent enough to actually, the draftees that is, in order to play? Or do you go back to what was a knock on Ross, which was that he didn't develop young players enough, and then he wasn't actually giving opportunities to young players, and you know, didn't want to blood, like, you know, even in recent times, like your Norths and so forth, and you know, it was enough opportunity provided for these guys that were drafted, and you know, perhaps they needed a kick along early on.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying you could look at it like that as well.
Ross was a pretty good judge of talent, and he played Neil, he played Sutcliffe in this year, you know, like he played some good young players. But, you know, I think in the end, we've got to realise, well, yep, getting W, and I think Mick Malthouse said it, yeah, get WA guys is great back, but your attitude's got to be, let's get the best players in the draft, let's bring them into the club. And, you know, I am kind of the opinion, and it's something I might try and do if I get time next week, to go back over the last, say, 10 years of drafts, and have a look. If we'd picked the next best WA player and I've we just did WA only,
I can send it to you.
What would our team look like?
Yeah.
You know, so, mate, if you've got that already, that'd be great. But just something to talk about. Oz, do you want to just finish off with listeners' questions, mate, or do you want to go
to
break?
I want to do my music, mate.
Oh, yeah, we've got to do the music quiz.
Now, this is the one thing I look forward to, buddy.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
All right, so, no, I do look forward to talking about football, mate. Don't get me wrong. Okay, yeah. So this is the Triple J Hottest 100 in 2013, which is a bit of a banger, mate. It's a bit of a banger. Hopefully we don't get banned from YouTube like we did last week, mate, because
for 30 seconds.
Not even, mate. It was not even. It was like 10 seconds.
I'm sure we've got plenty of people watching us on YouTube, mate, when just listening to the audio.
God,
are no cameras on.
No, there isn't. Here we go. All right, number 10.
Excuse me for a while. While I'm wide-eyed and I'm so down, caught in the middle.
Oh, mate. Just think of the old dance remix to this one. Here we go, number 9. Sorry, wrong one. This is number 9. Sorry, I pressed the wrong way, mate.
Oh, God.
This does not make you want to get up! Okay, here we go. Number 8.
I'm giving up, this whole life is on me.
Oh man, I can't think of any of the name of these bands.
Call it out like a family. Stood up at my time, get around.
Next one here is number 7. Number 6.
Yeah,
yeah. Number 5.
I've been seeing, I've been seeing your soul. Give me things that I wanted to know. Tell me things that you've done. I've been feeling old, I've been.
Number 4. This one, mate. Give it a hot tip. Number 3, here we go. Some of the boys shout out in the Gold Coast, hey? Hey, in the hub? Number 2,
like the legend,
this is quite controversial. Many wanted this as number 1.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of money, bit of a betting plunge on it.
And I'm not proud of my address in a torn up town.
And number 1.
Oh, nice. This is a good year.
Oh, mate, like I said, it's banger.
I was scared of dentists and the dark.
Okay. All right,
mate. Let's see if I can guess them.
Go.
Number 10, even though I saw you look up this song,
yep.
I do not remember what it was called. I don't remember who sung it.
Okay. Strong, London Grammar.
Ah.
Yeah. As a good dance remix to this one.
Number 9, was that The Preachers?
Is yes, it called? Is. Preachers. Is This How You Feel?
Yeah, I got that on vinyl. It's a good record. Resolution by Matt Corby.
Correct.
Number 7, nah, got no idea.
Young and Beautiful, Lana Del Rey. Cue the dance remix.
Arctic Monkeys.
Yep. Why you Wide, You Only Call Me When You're.
All right. Number 5, I didn't have a clue, but I just put Boy and Bear.
Close. Drop the Game by Flume and Chet Faker.
Number 4 was another Arctic Monkeys.
Correct. Song. Do I Wanna Know?
Nice.
I like the question marks.
Get Lucky by Daft Punk.
Daft Hunk.
Lord, and I've forgotten the name of the song at number 2.
Royals.
And number one, Riptide by Vance Joy.
Yeah.
Oh, I did pretty well then.
Oh, mate, I'm fine.
Not my best year, but still, very good. Guys, we'll be, sorry for the delay, obviously, in this week, but we won't be back until next Thursday, in which we will be doing a podcast on the Purple Patch, the preview for the game versus Brisbane up at the Gabba, mate, in the hub game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this game.
Should be good.
Oh, we've got to figure out where to. Shout out, Wardy. Going to make sure we catch up and watch it.
Oh, yeah, mate. And guys, please rate, subscribe, and review on iTunes. And also, make sure that you follow us on social media at PurpleRain95 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Sounds good.
All right, see you guys.
J-Lo's a bit of a gangster, isn't he?